Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Dan Wilson behind the glass. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. Coming up, 8 o'clock, Bo Wolf of The Athletic will join us. Talk some Eagles. We found out today. So the schedule is coming out Thursday night. We're doing a whole schedule special show on Thursday. I'm very excited for it as we unveil the schedule. And you know what we have to do Thursday? We got to play the win-loss game. It's like it's a sports radio staple. I can't wait to do it, Dan. I just have a feeling I'm going to find my way to 10 or 11 wins. I can't wait.
And you'll talk yourself into a few more by the next week. And my favorite part about the win-loss game, by the way, we already know all of the games.
Like, we know them all.
We know them all. But somehow, seeing the dates and times next to them, now we can predict if they're
winning. Well, you know what? Because you kind of see something flowing, right? Like a winning streak or a losing streak or three straight road games.
Wow, they're going to start out with a few wins here. They're going to start hot. Well, late in the year, they're going to build it up.
We do know one game. That is week two, home Monday Night Football against the Minnesota Vikings. And by the way, Kirk Cousins, 10-17 in prime time in his career. So
he's a Sunday at one quarterback.
Yes.
That's huge.
We'll just chalk that up to an early W for the Eagles. So we'll talk to the Eagles coming up with Bo, coming up at 8 o'clock. Your phone calls on the whole of Joel Embiid MVP snub, which I don't actually believe is a snub. I think it was a toss-up, and it sounds like Jokic's going to get this thing. And hope or belief on the Sixers coming back to win this series, actually win. Not just, obviously, they're in it, and they can win it now, but I'm in the camp of hope. Dan Wilson believes they're going to do this. Before we get back to the phones, though, we got to play a little bit of this for you. So yesterday, I'm home, and we did the whole Mother's Day thing with my wife and our kids, and then we're going to see my mom later on the day. So it's like that kind of in between. So I'm just in the kitchen, and I'm doing some dishes or whatever after breakfast, and I saw Glenn had a tweet that everyone needs to tune in to Glenn and Ray at 11 a.m. So I had a feeling that it was some sort of big announcement on the future of the show. So I tuned in, and here is what I heard, and I'm probably sure many have heard it by now. But if you haven't, here was a little bit of Ray Dittinger announcing his impending retirement yesterday morning on WIP.
My contract with WIP is up at the end of May, and I've decided that will be it for me. I'm retiring. Sunday, May 29th will be my final show. All these years, my family has lived their lives around my schedule. Now I can build my life around theirs. I have a wonderful wife, 2 accomplished adult children, and 4 beautiful grandchildren. I'm ready to transition from being Ray Diddy to Grandpop. Next fall, instead of charting plays at Lincoln Financial Field, I'll be at Gwinnett Mercy University watching girls field hockey and cheering on my granddaughter, Haley. I look forward to summer walks through Center City with my wife, Maria, and our bulldog, Arlo. I look forward to our grandson's music recitals, leisurely strolls through Rittenhouse Square and Reading Terminal Market, and a weekly senior citizens matinee at the Ritz 5. I now can work my way through all the novels that I've set aside with a mental note that I'll get to it someday. Well, someday is finally here. I'm retiring from WIP Radio and also from my TV work at NBC Sports Philadelphia. I've truly enjoyed working at both places. I love the people I worked with, and I'm proud of what we built, but I feel it's time to go. I'm healthy, I'm happy, but I'm also 75 years old. It's time, really, it's that simple. I'm not being pushed out the door, I'm leaving on my own, but it isn't easy. I love my life. I grew up wanting to be a writer and wanting to be involved in sports, and I've seen it all come true. I saw all 4 professional teams win championships. I've ridden in their parades, and I've bathed in their confetti. It was great, but even great things run their course, and I've run mine. We still have a month to talk about the Sixers and the Phillies and, of course, the Eagles. And that's what I'll miss the most, the give and take with you, the listeners, sharing that passion, tackling all sorts of issues with this guy, my partner Glenn Macnow, laughing at our stupid football bets and all the other stuff we kicked around for the last 20 years. And don't worry, Glenn is staying on, so you'll get your weekly update on what's new on Netflix and Hulu. Chances are it will be a British cop show, and Glenn will love it. I just want all of you to know how much I appreciate your friendship and support. It means more to me than words can ever express. So thank you all, and let's have fun with the time that we have left.
An emotional Ray Dininger yesterday morning here on WIP. I know Dan Wilson was producing yesterday. A lot of us listened to it live. We've heard some clips of it. There's a great video out there, also taken by Dan Wilson yesterday, that is out there on our social pages. And look, I'm going to miss Ray. I'm going to miss having him. I filled in last week for Angelo, and he was a guest on the show. I've talked to Ray many times, and I had a chance, I don't remember now, maybe five or six, maybe more than that, maybe 10 over the years before I was doing this show. And I was doing part-time, I would fill in for Glenn when he was out on the weekends, a lot of times with Ray. So, you know, Glenn was out on a weekend, vacation, whatever. I would fill in those Saturdays and Sundays at Delaware Park or here or wherever with Ray. And they were fun shows, and just picking Ray's brain and watching, like, you know, Glenn always kind of jokes about his papers he has. Like, obviously his yellow pad, but, like, you know, magazines. And I was at Delaware Park with him once, and he laid everything out, like everything. And had it all with him. But my favorite time working with Ray was, it was September, whatever, first weekend of September of 2016. And I forget how we opened the show. It was the Saturday before the NFL season began. So, like, not the Thursday night game had not happened. We were, like, a week out from the start of the season, one full week out. Saturday, and it was Saturday morning at Delaware Park. And we opened the show with something, maybe the Phillies the night before. Who knows what it was. But I remember looking down at my phone during the first break, and I saw the news broke. Actually, ironically, it was a tweet from Wade Phillips, the former coach, who tweeted, "Wow, Sam Bradford to the Vikings?" Something like that. It was like a weird, like he must have heard from someone within the league. And I showed it to Ray. I was like, this is weird. And then we came back on the air, and immediately it was like Adam Schefter and all those guys sort of reporting it, that the Eagles had traded Sam Bradford to the Minnesota Vikings for what we learned became a first-round pick. And but really the story then was that it cleared the path for Carson Wentz to start, and we were talking about whether or not he would they start Chase Daniel for a couple weeks and all that. And it was just like I'll always remember being on the air the moment they traded for Bradford and opening the door for Wentz. But really, that became the day that Carson Wentz became the Eagles' starting quarterback, and I got to share that with Ray. So he will be missed. Ray's awesome, and everyone loves Ray Dininger. So I am excited, Dan. I'm not sure how much you'll be producing in the next couple weeks, but that we get a little bit more Ray. Like, yesterday was goodbye, but not
– five more shows.
Not fully goodbye yet.
Not fully goodbye. He's got five more shows. Yeah, I don't know how it's going to shake out. I mean, it was a really cool moment being here yesterday for that, as you mentioned. Yeah, I literally was – standing in that room that you're sitting in right now recording him. I didn't know until, you know, just up before the show, and, you know, he just announces it, and it was obviously an emotional day, and I'm sitting here, and I produced Glenn and Ray for about a year, but kind of what you said, you know, they did some Delaware Park shows, but every time that he's here, either on a Sunday or they haven't been doing Delaware Park as much recently, what I'm going to miss the most is his setup every day. You know, we all come in here with, you know, our phones, iPads, tablets, computers, whatever. We all got the computers in the studio. But Ray Dininger, I don't know if you know this, on a weekend, is the only one. So people can't see the studio, but you're sitting in the chair where most of the hosts sit, if they're the only one sitting here. And sometimes Glenn will be at home. Sometimes Glenn will be here. But Ray Dininger always sits in the same exact spot, and it's not the seat you're sitting in. It's like, it's our guest. It's one of our guest mics, basically.
So basically, what Dan's saying, Ray's back would be to him. Like, I'm looking at Dan, but the person sitting across from where I'm sitting, which in this case he's talking about Ray, his back would be to you.
Correct. And he does it, I guess, out of habit. Like, he does it out of habit. He sits there. I think it's funny that he'll use the computer, but in the breaks he has to get up to use the computer. As opposed, like, it's just a very Ray kind of move. But why he sits there more than anything else is because he has space for all the legal pads and newspapers. And it's always an Inquirer. It's a Daily News. It's a New York Times. It's any piece of information he can get his hands on. but it's all, you know, old school. It's not digital. And so I always thought that was kind of funny. We have the COVID glass walls in there. We've had them for years. And I always thought it was funny that, like, he could barely fit it in the personal space that he had it. I mean, this guy is just prepared, prepared, prepared. Everyone says it. And getting kind of a up-close seat to, you know, history is what it turned out to be, the final year of his WIP career, and seeing that week in and week out. Yeah, I can't believe it's ending, and I'm definitely going
to
miss it.
Yeah, and the one thing I'll always be in gratitude to Ray, and every host I've worked with, but you know, Ray's very respected, as everyone is, but in kind of a regal way. Like, everyone respects Ray and his work. So, you know, the one thing that, it's always weird, like, you know, I'm 35. The first time I worked at Ray, I was probably 27 or whatever, and he's Ray Didinger. And, you know, anytime we do shows, anytime anyone works together at WIP, no one has to agree. In fact, a lot of times we disagree. But I think it's always important that we respect each other's opinions. Like, I could think you're crazy, but, like, I'm not going to say you're stupid, right? This is ridiculous. Like, there has to be some sort of respect between each other. And, like, Ray made me feel like he respected my opinion on the Eagles, on whatever we were talking about that day. Like, you know, I could be part of this conversation, and, you know, that's, I'm sure he's a good coworker, but also I felt like he did, and that was cool, because it's like, hey, I'm giving Ray Didinger my opinion on Doug Peterson, and he's
respecting it.
Yeah, like
he's had takes on the Eagles
before I was born,
but before your parents were, like, right, born, essentially. Yeah, he's been around a long time. Really quick, I was just gonna say a kind of personal anecdote. Getting to produce their shows, it is amazing week in and week out. Like, the amount of people who call in. I mean, they want to talk to Glenn and Ray, but literally have questions specifically for Ray, or, like, when's Ray's next book signing? Like, he's clearly, he's got celebrity status in town, and once you start producing for him, you realize it. And then also, sometimes I'll walk with him on Saturdays or Sundays or whatever, and he said this specifically, only when asked about it. He would never offer this piece of information up himself, because he's just, frankly, too humble a guy. He got stopped 3 times on his walk from Rittenhouse Square to here the day after the draft.
Wow.
Just to get asked about it.
Yeah.
This is at 9 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday. Like, people recognize him and have draft questions ready to go. And he actually built that into the time he knew it would take to get here. And he stops and talks to every one of them.
Yeah. And I'll also miss, I mean, obviously going to miss Ray's show, Ray's appearances here, his show with Glenn. I'm going to miss his work on NBC Sports Philadelphia after the, I mean, so for 1 year I got to do a TV show after Ray. It was called Birds Outsiders. I got to do it for 1 year, 2 seasons ago. And I was on after Ray. And the thing I thought was so cool about that is, like, everyone I ever talk to in Philadelphia watches post-game live. Like, it's what you do, right? You watch the game, and you flip over, and I usually DVR, and I hate, they have to, like, fast forward to the poker. They always have the poker.
Poker
on.
Is always leading into
always.
It.
Always. Yes. You gotta like, and then depending on when the game ends, you gotta find where post-game live starts, but whatever. So I always watch it, and it's a great show, and, you know, Barkant teeing everybody up with their opinions, and, yeah, and it's such a wide array of kind of opinions.
Here comes Brandon Graham. Here comes Derek Barnett. Whoever, reading off
and
the whole roster.
And then what is Dallas Goedert
what
doing?
What is Dallas Goedert, yeah, doing? And then they cut to Ray, and he's got his notes.
He's, yeah, got his notes, and you want to hear what Ray's opinion is. And sometimes Ray and I were on the same page. Sometimes totally different, but it didn't matter. I wanted to hear his opinion. So congrats to Ray on an incredible career in Philadelphia.
That show, by the way, has been on my entire life. It came on in the 97 season. Like,
wow,
that Comcast Sportsnet and the NBC Sports Philadelphia show. Like,
yeah,
there have been some other names that have factored in. There was, you know, it was him, Barrett Brooks, and Seth Joyner most recently this season. But Brian Westbrook had been on that for years. Of course, Governor Ed Rendell, which I think it's the most unique thing. What other city or state
nowhere.
Its politicians on their postgame show for the
giving
NFL
takes
team?
On the quarterback?
Giving takes on the quarterback. Nowhere else does that happen other than Philadelphia. But Michael Barkan and Ray Didinger were, like, the godfathers of that show. Like, they were the ones on it from the jump. And for the first time in Eagles postgame live history, Ray Didinger will not be on it this fall.
Yeah.
And that's I'm 24. That's my entire life.
Yeah, it's going to be bizarre. And the other thing about that show, it works so well here. And other cities have something similar, but they launched after that. Philadelphia is one of the first ones to do it. And the reason I always thought it works so well here is because this city, more than most, cares about the Eagles and nothing else. Like, most people, I'd say,
it's
listen,
priority number one.
And two and three and four. Like, yeah, if it's a playoff game, maybe my attention the next at 4 o'clock is going to be like, I'm going to watch the playoff game. But most Sundays, I'd say our audience will watch the Eagles or listen to the Eagles on WIP and immediately want to continue with the Eagles on a post game. Like, yeah, whatever. Like, Chargers, Broncos, I want to hear what everyone says about the Eagles. That's what makes this city unique and made that show great. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop in. Congratulations to Ray Didinger on an incredible career and I enjoyed every moment I got a chance to work with him. Greg in Philadelphia wants to talk about Joel Embiid not winning the MVP. Hey, Greg.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, Greg. What's up?
Nothing, man. I feel like with the whole situation with Ben Simmons, should be enough for him to get an MVP. You know what I mean? He's worked so hard all this season, rebuilding teams and changing rosters and all kinds of stuff, and they're not giving him a break, man.
Well, are they supposed to give him a break, or are they supposed to vote for the player they think is the MVP?
You tell me, man.
Well, they're supposed to vote for the player that's the MVP, right? That's why they have a ballot.
Yeah. I don't know. I just feel like this was the year, and it still is the year, and he's in the playoffs. He's still driving his team. And Jokic, for the second year, has done the same thing, you know, been out the first round of the playoffs.
Right, but that doesn't have anything to do with the MVP. And I know, like we could bring it up, and it's fair to talk about, right? Like the Joel's team is still going, but it doesn't have anything to do with it, right? They vote before the regular before the playoffs start. Like this doesn't do anything.
How many votes was he down?
So we don't know yet. The ballot, you know, we have not got the full results. We just know that. You know, we just know that he's going to win. Jokic is going to win because Woj pointed out. And Greg, we produced the phone call. Here's what I'll say. I will be surprised and frustrated if it's not close. I do think it's going to be close. I'd imagine Joel gets the most second place votes for the MVP award. And he should, like, you know, other than, and I think Giannis is a special kind of candidate because he's a great player. I love Giannis. And I tell you right now, if you gave me a ballot, I would have voted Embiid one. It's not easy to pick 1, 2, 3 with those three. If I had to guess, it's going to go Jokic, Embiid, Giannis. That's the way it's going to end up when we finally get the tallies of the votes. But, yeah, I mean, it certainly seems like it's going to be Jokic with the most first-place votes, and then I would imagine Embiid with the most second-place votes. I don't buy the anti-Philly thing. I don't buy the anti-process thing. I mean, I haven't seen anyone that covers the NBA tweet or write or put a column out negatively about how the Sixers built this in years. Like, it's just, it's not a talking point anymore. No one talks about this. I mean, that process has been so over now. Like, no one nationally is talking about the process. That happened a century ago, basically. It was years ago. Yeah, there were people that were, you know, against the idea of losing on purpose when it was going on. I don't see how they'd hold that against Joel Embiid. It doesn't feel like they would. And if anyone came out and said, I didn't vote for Joel Embiid because the Sixers tanked to get him in the draft in, you know, 2014, that's ridiculous. And they should lose their vote if that's the case, because that has nothing to do with Joel Embiid. Robert is up on WIP. Hey, Robert.
Hey, Joe. How you doing, man?
Good, Robert. What's on your mind tonight?
Listen, the only thing I disagree with you, I don't agree Embiid was snubbed, because I look at it, he would be snubbed if it was given to somebody that was way lesser of a player than he was.
Right.
And Jokic isn't way lesser. I don't believe Jokic is as good as Embiid, because sometimes numbers lie, Joe. Like, honestly, what are the numbers are in the fourth quarter or against certain type of competition? Like, I need to break down the numbers, because the years that Jordan didn't win it, it was a joke. Jordan should win it every year. The years that LeBron didn't win it, it's a joke. LeBron should win it every year. They give it to somebody like Karl Malone, I think, won a couple of years.
He did, yeah. It was Malone those 2 years. Yeah.
There's no way Karl Malone, and Karl Malone is a hell of a player. Karl Malone is an all-time power forward, a top 50 player of all time. But he shouldn't win over Jordan. He should never win over Jordan. But, you know, listen, it happened. You know what I mean? And LeBron, I think LeBron's the second best player to ever play the game.
Me too. I think it's Jordan 1, LeBron 2, and LeBron only has 4 of these things.
And LeBron is what, 37, 38 years old, and he's still probably a top 5 player in the league. You know what I mean? It's just, the guy's phenomenal. The guy's a freaking nature. He's phenomenal. But I think Embiid deserved it. But, you know, I don't think he was snubbed. I think he definitely deserved it. But you know what? That MVP finals, MVP will look a lot better than just an MVP award. So
yes, it would. Robert, you know what? That's the trophy I wanted to get. Get
that's
that one.
That's what I wanted to get, Joe. I hope it pisses him off. I hope it gets him upset. I hope it gets him angry. And I just hope he comes out like a monster and closes out. And, you know, we got the momentum with the series right now. We got to win one in Miami. You know, they say the series doesn't start till you win on the other team's home court. I don't always believe that. But right now, we got to win on their court. So if we can get this win tomorrow night, I think we close them out here. I think it's over.
I agree with you, Robert. I think, and Robert, I appreciate it, man. I think the winner of Game 5 is going to win this series. It is funny. Dan, I think you were doing the top 5 at 5 last week. I heard you talk about the cliches, right?
Yes, and it was inspired by James Harden saying the series doesn't start till someone wins on the road.
It is funny now that it's played out like this, because in James Harden's, to use his cliche and to play it out, the series hasn't begun yet.
No, because they went up 2-0, and obviously this is a little different than usual because Embiid came back only for the games in Philly. He didn't make the trip to Miami. So Game 5 tomorrow night is the first time that Joel Embiid will be playing a game down in Miami in this series. So way, way different. I just thought it was a very funny cliche. And ironically, the guy who popularized this cliche in the 80s was Pat Riley. He's sitting in the, for the Miami Heat courtside and was up in Philly this past weekend. So it's ironic that Pat Riley like championed that saying. It's ironic that James Harden, which I thought was a total loser mentality down 2-0 to say that, by the way. Like, hey, we lost 2 games in Miami, but the series hasn't started yet. We're fine. And then they come back and win 2. So I guess that means the series still hasn't started yet. And again, if it plays out 7 and the Heat win on their home floor and the Sixers win on their home floor, does the series never begin? Like, how does that even work?
Yeah, I appreciate Harden's optimism. The only issue with it in this series is they don't have home court advantage, right? So
they need to start the series at some point.
Yeah, the Sixers have to be the one that starts the series. Otherwise, they're going to be going home here. Rick, is it Doyleson? Hey, Rick.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, Rick. What are you thinking?
Well, a couple things. First, to talk about Ray Dittinger, I happened to turn on the radio Sunday, and to hear the announcement, it kind of brings you to your knees. It's just, you don't expect it. The one thing I wish, and this is selfish, is that, like with Angelo, when somebody is part of your life that long, you want more time to adjust away from having that weekend, experience. I wish it was longer than May. It just seems like, it's going to be tough.
Rick, I agree, and I'm sitting in a chair that I was at one point a fan of these guys, and now I'm coworkers with them. But I agree. I mean, there's been something that I've appreciated more about when I get a chance to listen to Angelo and everything about his show, because I know there's only so much time left. I'm with you. I wish that we had found out a few months ago. At least we could have appreciated the Glenn and Ray show a little bit more before it was over. I hear you on that.
Yeah, that was just the first point. Selfish reasons, because it's just over so fast, and you want to be able to sort of celebrate and honor and remember, and hopefully he'll still do cameos and be able to come on for certain events, because it's tough, and that's with sports talk, but even with Comcast and with Eagles Post Game Live, who fills that seat? I mean, that's a tall order.
Oh, very. I mean, Rick, I'm sure there's qualified candidates to talk about the Eagles, but it's going to be hard to replace Ray. There's no question.
No, there's more than just being able to talk about the Eagles. It's that whole dynamic that he bought, just him as a person. He'll be missed.
Yeah, and he evened out, like that show, the Post Game Live. Like, you have the fire and brimstone of Seth Joyner, and then you have kind of the studious thought about the game from Ray. Like, they kind of played off each other very well.
It was a great balance. It was a perfect pairings. And not just Seth, but just go back, like you said, 24 years. All the other people were in the seats. He was the constant. Talking about the MVP, it's just one of those things that I think it's so subjective, and it drives me nuts, because whatever the writers are thinking, whatever the criteria is, in my opinion, and again, I'm a hometown guy, I just feel like unless you could explain to me what Jokic brings that MB doesn't at least match up equally. I'd like to understand that, last year and this year.
Do you know what my guess is, Rick? And I don't know if this is fair or not. It's just my guess. Because Dan mentioned also there was a straw poll. ESPN put out a poll in February, then put another one out in late March. Like, if you had a vote right now, who would you vote for? And in February, Embiid was leading. And then at the end of the season, it was Jokic. My guess is that they took away credit from Embiid because Harden got here, right? The Ben Simmons disaster was gone. They traded him for Harden, and he got help. Meanwhile, Jokic never got his players back, the guys that were injured all year. That's my guess at what's changed, but that's all. It's just a guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things where I feel like it wasn't a disrespect, and finishing second and getting the second-place votes is an honor in itself, and I think for what Joel overcame with the Harden distraction, with really not having that number two guy, and then Harden coming, and again, with Maxey, I get it. I mean, and he's emerged as a superstar, but I think he did more with less as well. I don't think he had a powerhouse, you know, team around him. I think he brings out the best of the other players. I think that's evident in this series.
You're right. Rick, I agree. I mean, I think he has. And I think it's probably this. It's probably swung too far one way versus the other when it comes to, you know, all the votes that Embiid maybe had in February and then didn't have at the end of the year versus, you know, right now with Jokic and all that. 215-592-9494. Tell you, hot boy. We're going to talk to Bo Wolf coming up on the other side. Bo of The Athletic about the Eagles, his thoughts on the draft, the A.J. Brown contract. The Eagles paid a wide receiver. And as we look forward here, there's a lot of buzz growing, and I'm part of this, that believes the Eagles can win the NFC East in 2022. Does Bo agree? We'll talk to him and if he's ready for Monday Night Football Week 2 against the Minnesota Vikings. All that coming up. 215-592-9494. It gets you aboard. Sports Radio 94 WIP.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.